Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pack around, McLeod lost the ball, gets it back for Harlan Beverly. Way out on the three-point line. Pack, a long three, good! My goodness! From the far right sideline, Nigel Pack with another majestic three. Miami moving up the scoreboard, one goosebump at a time. 39-17.
And hello everybody, and welcome to the show. We're going to talk University of Miami basketball coming up with Hurricanes head coach Jim Larrañaga. Two huge games this past week at Duke and, of course, against Florida State. A huge victory against the Seminoles. And Miami wins going away 86-63 over Florida State, the largest margin of victory by a visiting team in the history of the series. So a great win for the University of Miami. Hurricanes head coach Jim Larrañaga is with us. Coach L, good evening to you.
Hi, Joe. You enjoyed that game last night, huh?
I did, very much. You said, you told your team, sports is fun, but it's a lot more fun when you win, and I very much enjoyed last night.
Yeah, I thought we got out of the block so quickly, so well, in the first half, got a commanding lead, and everybody contributed. We scored 54 points in the first half, and funny thing, that's not the highest point total we've had in the first half, Joe. Do you remember the other game?
Cornell?
Cornell, we had 68.
Yeah, that's the highest
scoring.
So
when we're hitting on all cylinders, we can really score the ball. Unfortunately, at Duke, we were kind of missing one of our key engine components, Isaiah Wong. He was so sick and under the weather. He had this nasty sinus infection and nasal congestion, hard for him to breathe and really play with the normal energy that he brings to the court.
Cornell, by the way, the highest scoring game in the ACC this year by one team, 108 points by the University of Miami. Coach L, if we could go back for a moment to Saturday night after the Duke game, because I thought Saturday night paved the way for Tuesday night, the way you approached what happened at Duke, talking to the team about being a high-scoring team, but have to get back to sharing the ball, and then the game plan that you put in for Florida State. How proud were you last night with the way your team paid attention to what you had to say and with the way they executed the game plan?
Yeah, game plan is only good if your players can execute it. You can come up with a fantastic, very complicated game plan, and if your players can't execute it, you play poorly. Last night, the game plan was simple enough, very specific enough, that our players executed it beautifully. They were very motivated. We'd lost to Florida State too many times. Last year, we lost to them by 1 point at our place and 1 point at their place. So the returning players made it very, very clear to their teammates that we needed to play our best and get a W. And so the game plan was to attack them, cut to the basket regularly versus their pressure defense. And it started out with Jordan Miller cutting back door, getting a layup instead of scoring. They fouled him. He went to the foul line, made free throws. Then the next time it was someone else cutting, and then Wooga Popla made a defensive steal. He got a layup. Nigel Pack caught fire from three. He had like four threes in the first half. So it was really a terrific all-around game.
You mentioned Wuga, and I thought he was kind of the, maybe I'll call him the X factor. 14 points, his highest total, I believe, in an ACC game, getting rebounds and steals and playing with energy and a big smile on his face.
Well, I thought the whole key to our game plan was telling whoever guarded Darren Green not to let him get going, because if he gets, he's capable of getting 20 to 25 points. He's a transfer from Central Florida who lit us up for 23 points last year here in a Central Florida win. This year we did not want Darren Green to get off to a great start and start burying threes, and that assignment went to Wuga Poplar. And he did a terrific job, and the steal he got, he drove it the length of the court, made a layup, and then he got another one. He threw an around-the-back pass to Jordan Miller. So Wuga really had himself a very nice afternoon.
I think it's important to note that this Miami-Florida State series with you has been very competitive. The first 14 matchups, you held an 8-6 advantage over Florida State, and then, you know, the roster's kind of a we know why the rosters kind of got out of balance, but you made it very important to your team to understand what Miami and Florida State means, and they attacked that challenge.
Yeah, and our players know that, you know, recruits oftentimes visit us and Florida State. Norshad Omir is a good example. Norshad visited three schools when he decided to enter the transfer portal. One of the schools was in Texas. And the other two were in Florida, Miami and Florida State. So I'm sure he wanted to play well. I know our university competes with all in-state students. You know, a lot of kids, do you want to go to Florida State? Do you want to go to Florida? Or do you want to go to Miami? And, you know, we know that this is a rivalry as important to us as Duke and Carolina. We don't get the national attention that Duke and Carolina's rivalry gets, but it still is just as significant to our players and their players. So it was a very nice victory on their home court. And we're going to have to face them again in a short while. They'll be coming here to Coral Gables soon.
Yeah, Florida State comes back in February the 25th. They're a little bit different this year in the past. A lot of tall players. Not that they don't have tall players now with Baba Miller is 6'11 and McLeod is 7'4 and the other kid Green is 6'11. But they rely more on skill and more of a junkyard type of defense, which you kind of lacerated last night with all the cuts to the basket and the good passing. You talked to your team about basketball, the simplicity. You pass, you catch. You shoot uncontested shots.
Well, that was the point, because against Duke, we didn't move the ball as well as we planned to do, and we only ended up with a handful of assists and 17 turnovers, whereas Duke was moving the ball very well against us. They had, I think, 16 assists in the first half. No, they were really finding the open man. We needed to do the same thing. Instead, we started challenging their seven-footers right at the rim. And those guys either blocked our shots or made them alter it, but we missed. We had perfect opportunities to kick it out. And because we didn't do that consistently, we were not able to get the lead. We played from behind most of the second half. And we ended up being very, very close to winning, but we lost by 2 points.
Now, while we're on the topic of Duke for a moment, the last three games have been incredible. I mean, I think I have this right. At halftime, it's been 32-32, 36-36 in Brooklyn, and then 38-38 again in Durham. You've played all three games away from home, and two of the three have been decided by 2 points basically on the last shot, and the other one in Brooklyn decided by 4 points, and that one came down to about the last 30 seconds.
Yeah, we've had some great games. We've won, you know, our fair share. I forget what they've said our record is against them, but, you know, it's like 8-10, something like that. And, but, you know, every game in the ACC is a challenge because every team, you know, different personnel, different coaches, different styles of play. You know, we beat Syracuse last week. You know, they sat in that 2-3 zone. We played Virginia early in the year. They play that man-to-man, but it's packing. Last night we played Florida State. They're out denying. So every time you play an ACC opponent, you have to let your players know what the style of play is so that they can prepare themselves mentally and visualize how they're going to have to attack it. You can't attack the pack defense of Virginia the same way you attack the pressure defense from Florida State.
The we're still kind of in the middle of a road trip here, even though we're home for now for a couple of days. We were on the road for 5 days, back on the road for the third game of this road trip to Pittsburgh on Saturday. And road wins are so valuable in the league. You have three. And I think it's important to note that the top four teams in the league, Miami, Virginia, North Carolina, Clemson, are a combined 19-0 at home. So the home court has been a big advantage inside the ACC.
Well, you know, we want that to continue to be the case and, you know, protect our home court. But then also we got a key road game coming up on Saturday.
Right.
We want to play as hard and as well as we did against Florida State, not like we did against Duke.
Yeah. The Duke game, Isaiah was not feeling well, but it still came down to almost the last plays of the game. What were your thoughts? We'll just spend a minute or two on that one. You talked a little bit. We talked a lot, actually, about shot selection. You held them to, what, 66, 68 points. What were your overall thoughts on that one coming right down to the wire?
Well, first going into the Duke game, I was a little concerned because Isaiah was not feeling well. I was trying to figure out, okay, if he can't go, who do we play in his place? And right now we have two guys coming in off the bench that can each play Isaiah's position, Bensley Joseph and Harlan Beverly. The difference is Isaiah is such a high-octane scorer, and Bensley and Harlan are terrific defensively, but they're not the high octane scorer of an Isaiah Wong. And we were going to need to get some more points from Nigel, from Norshad, and Jordan Miller. But it was a very good, even game for most of the game. They'd get ahead, we tie it up. They'd get ahead, we tie it up. But we were never able to get ahead and get control. And probably the killer shot of the game was when it was very close to a shot clock violation. The ball had skirted out to midcourt, and Whitehead picked it up and launched a 50-foot shot that banked in.
Yeah.
That was a three-pointer. We only lost by two, so not only was that a big shot that he made, but it took them on a 10-0 run, and that was the difference in the ball game.
Yeah, when he hit that, I remember saying in the broadcast, this one's going to be a big factor down the stretch, and he just kind of sailed it up there and knocked it in. Then he got hurt against Virginia Tech a couple days later. Miami will play Pittsburgh on Saturday, 4 o'clock tip-off. We're going to be on the air at 3:30. Nigel Pack, coach. What do you see there? The last seven games, from he's shooting about 46% from three-point range.
Yeah, I think he's getting more and more confident, more and more comfortable. We've encouraged him every day, every game, to just be himself and play as hard and as smart and as well as he possibly can. And, you know, Joe, one of the things players in almost every sport, every team sport anyway, they always ask the question, what's my role? And in basketball, my answer to that question is always the same. Be the best that you can be at what you do. So a guy like Norshad Omir, hey, be a great rebounder, an inside defender, and, you know, make the shots that you can make in around the basket, make your free throws. And then if you're Nigel Pack, I say, hey, make your threes, make your pull-up jump shots, make your free throws. and share the ball. Get the other guys involved. You're a point guard. The game is pretty simple. Be the best version of yourself. I thought yesterday Wooga Popla did that. I mean, he hit a couple of threes. He hit a baseline jumper. He drove to the basket and got fouled and made the two free throws. He stole the ball and went coast to coast and made a layup. And he guarded Darren Green great. He had five rebounds and three assists with no turnovers. That's fulfilling your role. Be the best that you can be at what you do well.
By the way, with Nigel hitting those threes, and some of those were from the outskirts last night, that's got to have some effect on how teams start playing their defense, right? I mean, that's really stretching out a defense.
Well, I think we'll see moving forward. You know, we see in games regularly teams making adjustments. I remember last year we ran a particular play against North Carolina that we had a lot of success with. And the next game I saw Carolina play, they put in that play. And they started to run it, and they had great success with it for the remainder of the season and used it to get to the national championship game against Kansas. Coaches are always stealing from one another, scouting. And when Jim Boeheim introduced the 2-3 zone, a lot of coaches said, I'm not a zone coach. And then a couple of seasons later, they see the success that Jim is having. They say, well, I better put in the Syracuse zone.
Yeah. Jordan Miller, you probably know the stat going into last night's game. I think I'm right on this. Averaging 15 points a game, 5 rebounds a game, 2 assists a game, 1 steal, at least, and 1 steal and shooting 50%. Now, there have only been 2 other guys in the last 4 years to do that in the league. They were both players of the year inside the ACC. So he is putting up some tremendous numbers. And then he goes out last night and is almost a perfect game. 5 for 5 from the floor, missed 1 free throw. He had 3 rebounds and 4 assists. So you talk about consistency. I guess from a coaching perspective, that's the thing. When you have a player that you know what he's going to give you every night, that's probably pretty special.
You know, Jordan's been doing that since he arrived here last year, Joe. He is really a multidimensional player. He's very, very smart. He's clever. He can play multiple positions. He can defend multiple positions. And he's a great teammate. Guys love playing with him. And I'll tell you, Joe, I've told Jordan this, he's hard to take out, because he impacts the game in such a positive way with his defense and passing and scoring.
Yeah, he in that Duke game, he often was up against Filipowski. Now, Filipowski, for a freshman, he's a monster. He's a big guy.
7 foot, about 225 pounds, and very skillful and very, very aggressive. Really looking for shots, looking for driving opportunities, you know, jumping into the defense, trying to draw fouls and get to the offensive boards. He's a very, very aggressive player. And yet, I think, you know, again, Jordan did a reasonably good job on him, and we were right there at the end.
Yeah, it was almost a perfect storm for them also. They're coming off the road losses. Their crowd was very energized. And then they got the Willis Reed effect when Jeremy Roach came into the game.
Well, Jeremy Roach was the difference in the game. He had 14 points. He got made the key defensive plays. He made some outstanding assists. I think had he not been available because of the injury he had that caused him to miss several games, if he was not available, I think we'd definitely win that ball game.
Yeah. You also had to be pleased. We're on the road there for 5 days. Your team, I thought, practiced really well on Monday. Had a great shoot-around yesterday. You were able to move on from that Duke game, and that's what good, mature teams do, right? They just move forward.
Well, you know, we use the expression, hey, take it one day at a time, one game at a time. and we talk about the ACC being a marathon. You know, we're not playing one or two games or a tournament yet. That's the ACC tournament in March. The regular season is 20 games, 10 at home, 10 on the road. And when you hit the road, you've got to be well-rested and you have to play well or you're going to get your clock clean. And we went to Duke and followed up. We went right to Tallahassee to play Florida State. And I thought our guys, you know, did a great job of staying focused and playing well. Whether it was at home or away, we were focused to play our best.
Mm-hmm. All right, coming up on Saturday, it's Pittsburgh. We'll talk about that and the rest of the league. We got to take a quick break here on the show. Then we'll come back and have more with University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. We have to talk about one of our favorite people in favorite people all around, and that's Ed Williamson. And Ed Williamson Buick GMC, you can get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and a new Buick from Williamson Buick GMC. New Buicks are arriving daily at Williamson. And so what does that mean? Well, at Williamson Buick GMC, what it means is they're going to have the Buick you're looking for. So if you are in the market for the Buick Encore, is a five-person SUV. It has style. It has outstanding performance. It has the latest technology. It is perfectly sized to handle whatever life throws at you. Or the new Buick Enclave. The Enclave has an exciting new look, and it brings together the idea of a family vehicle and luxury. So to check out these new vehicles, the new Buick, you can visit Williamson's beautiful facility, very easy to find, located on US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto, or online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle. You can experience the new Buick from your premier Buick dealership, Williamson Buick GMC. Williamson is Miami.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga, Miami and Pittsburgh on Saturday. 4 o'clock tip-off will be on the air at 3:30 in the afternoon. A bow tie on Florida State. 23 assists in the game last night. Coach, you'll probably take that every single time out.
Oh, no question about that. Our goal is to get 16, so 23 is better than 16, Joe. And when we share the ball like that, we're going to score a lot of points.
You are the number three offense in total offense in the league and number one field goal percentage shooting team in the league.
Yeah, and our offense, according to KenPom, I haven't looked at it today, but yesterday we were ninth in the country. Hmm. So our offense has been very efficient. That's very important. And hopefully our defense is catching up. Yesterday I thought our defense in the first half was excellent. We only gave up 28 points. Second half, just not as good. Oh, yeah. We have to be able to sustain the defensive effort. In the first half, we did not give up a single offensive rebound. And then in the second half, we weren't as good rebounding the basketball. They missed a free throw, and they were able to get the offensive rebound. They had 8 offensive rebounds in the second half. We only had 7 for the game. So we need to be a little bit more consistent at the defensive end and especially in the rebounding category.
Yeah, you turned the ball over a little bit more than you probably would have liked in the second half.
Yeah, we started out the second half with three straight turnovers.
Yeah.
And carelessness. And I don't want to seem frustrated, you know, the next night, but I love when we play well. I love when we execute. And I think we're awfully hard to beat when we do. It frustrates me when we can't carry it over for a full game. And consistency is the mark of a champion. If we want to continue to compete with the best teams in our league, you know, we're in a tie with a bunch of teams moving forward. Clemson is a little bit ahead. Virginia's ahead, you know, ahead of us by one game, and I think they're in the best position because of their schedule.
Right.
But you got to play well to win. You got to play well at both ends of the court, Joe. And the careless turnovers in the second half and the lack of defensive rebounding, allowing Florida State to get eight offensive rebounds in the second half, is something we have to improve.
Yeah, the analytics say that Virginia has the easiest second half schedule inside the ACC. I think they're all a tussle, but the analytics say Virginia has the easiest path.
Yeah, and they're also an extremely well-coached team with a lot of talent right now. Hey, Joe, Virginia, since we played them, has changed dramatically. The big guys that we faced last year and this year, Cedric, he's not even in the start lineup anymore.
Right.
They've gone to a smaller, more skillful, better shooting, three-point shooting team. They've taken Vanderplas, who had like 23 or 24 against us. Instead of him coming off the bench, he is starting now at the four or five, and along with Jaden Gardner. And now they're using McNeely off the bench, sometimes starting him. He's an outstanding three-point shooter. So Virginia's made some adjustments. It's working for them.
Now, they've won five in a row, and teams evolve. Your team evolved last year, right? We still have 10 games to go. I consider this like the dog days of the ACC. This is where you get challenged mentally and physically, right?
Well, again, when you're racing in a marathon, there's some people that get off to a great start, and normally they set the pace. But they can't sustain that for the 26 miles. It's just too long a grind. So eventually they slip from being the front runner to slipping into the middle of the pack and sometimes even the back of the pack. Whereas the runner who is the most consistent, steady, keeps up the pace, just grinds it out mile after mile, that's normally the one that still has a kick at the end and can finish with a gold medal in the marathon. In the ACC regular season, it's very much the same way. You might go through a stretch where you lose a few games, and then you might go through a stretch where you win several games. Joe, this is the second year in a row that we were 5-0 to start league play. Last year, we were 4-0, went to Duke and won at Duke to go 5-0. This year, we had four ACC games in December. That's the first. And two of them at home and two of them on the road, and we won all four of those. So we've been pretty darn good, and we need to be consistently good.
Yeah, 7-3 at the halfway point, so that's in very good shape. I did want to ask you, or maybe more than ask, just kind of present it as a conversation, recruiting. We're in the middle of January, the middle of the ACC schedule, kind of a two-part question for you. One, how is it, I guess we're into the second or third go-around now, maybe, of transfer portal. When you have time with your staff and you guys start analyzing your recruiting, how does it divide your attention between game prep, portal, and recruiting high school players? I guess that would be my first part of the conversation.
Well, when Hurricane Hotline called me tonight at 6 o'clock, There was also a recruit on the line at 6 o'clock. I had to tell him we'll call him back after the show.
So, sorry.
Yeah, recruiting at this time of year is there's basically recruiting periods. The first recruiting period is really for high school seniors to be. And it starts in April. It goes through the summer and into the fall where they take official visits and then make their decision. Most high school players have made their decision now. Then it moves to this time of year, we're looking at juniors. Not to sign them, but to get involved and to see if they're going to be interested in us. And then in April, the transfer portal. Kids put their name in the transfer portal and start looking at the various schools that are interested in them. And then they make the decision. The difference with a transfer is normally his recruiting process takes like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whereas a senior in high school, it takes months and months and months. So very, very different. And with transfers, you know you're recruiting someone who's already been in college, who has developed his own resume, so you can kind of look and see, you know, what his stats were and how did his team perform when he was there. And you get a lot of information as what he's done at the college level. Some kids, and this is pretty regular now in our league, some kids will graduate from their first school and become a fifth-year senior at their second school. So they come in with already an undergraduate degree in hand and looking just for a better basketball situation or just a new basketball situation to challenge himself.
Well, I wanted to bring this up in the conversation in recruiting, and I think it's important for the listeners to know that I think one of the things that I always find very interesting with you, and it's very important to you, is to bring your team together. And my experience watching your teams, it's always a team. And it got me thinking the other night when you talked to your club about we have to stay together and come together, that we're entering a phase of a lot of teams, one-year teams because of all the transferring and all that. But also, you can go coach all the way down to the youth level, and everything is about showcase. Kids in the fifth grade go to a showcase tournament. They get a better spot on the seventh grade team for a showcase tournament. They get a better spot for the AAU team. Once they get to college, how hard is it for you to always try to bring them in and remind them that, okay, but now we're all about a team?
Well, my answer, Joe, is it's nearly impossible because they are not, they grow up with the idea that, you know, I come first, the team comes second.
Yeah.
What I love about our players is they're also team-oriented. So when you say you want to build a team, well, then you have to recruit guys who really are team-oriented. Because most kids are not. And they feel like, hey, it's my turn. Now, give me the opportunity and I'll show you what I can do. And the whole key to basketball is, you know, football, you have a group of guys playing offense, then you have a different group playing defense and a different group on scout team or special teams. In basketball, you got to play both sides of the ball, and you got to do everything. You got to pass and catch and shoot and defend, rebound. Everybody's got to do everything. So you need a group of skilled players who are very, very confident and comfortable in their own abilities. They don't feel like they're the only ones that have to shine, that they're team-oriented and love to play with other good players. And that's what you're going to play with, guys like yourself, who love to work hard, who love playing team basketball and want to compete at the highest level.
That's got to be hard to evaluate, right? Some of that is just once you get them, you have to teach them, I guess, or convince them. But that's got to be hard. But your best teams.
I went to a clinic once with Dean Smith, a fantastic head coach of University of North Carolina, who when he retired, he was the winningest coach in college basketball history. And I heard him at a clinic one time, and someone just said to him, Coach Smith, I need to know your secret of how you get your players to shoot free throws at such a high rate. What is the teaching that you do? What is the drills that you do? How do you develop that skill? And his answer was absolutely perfect. We recruit good free throw shooters. So, well, it's not about what North Carolina was teaching them. They already had that skill. They recruited players that could really shoot free throws. So when they got fouled in games in college, they made the free throw just like they did in high school. It's the same thing with three-point shooting. If you recruit a player that can't shoot the three, he's not very good at shooting three, but he wants to keep shooting it and shooting it and shooting it, well, that's a problem. But if you sign a guy, let's say Nigel Pack for us, hey, he's not going to make everyone, but he's going to make a ton of shots like he did when he was at Kansas State or like he did when he was in high school. Speaking of three-point shooting, I don't know if you saw this. DJ Vasiljevic, who's one of the leading three-point shot makers in Miami history, he scored 42 points last week, made 10 of 14 threes. Oh. He's a three-point shooter.
Yeah. He was a sniper for sure. Well, yeah, you know, your teams, some of your best teams, you've had some very good teams here. They've all pulled together, and it gets me to thinking, by the way, a quick note, it's the 10th anniversary of the championship, ACC championship team. I guess those guys are still scattered all over the place playing in Europe and playing professionally, but I think they're still all connected because of their experience that they had at the University of Miami.
Well, Joe, I don't know if I'm sharing news before it's supposed to go out in the public, but at some point, Duran Scott and Garius Adams and Jack McClinton and all of our former players, they have talked about with me of taking a week in July before we head to France for our international trip in August, and they're going to have alumni games. Mm. They're going to do clinics for the young kids in town. They're planning a whole week of community service, and I love it. These guys feel very connected to the U. They love coming to Miami in the summer. We'll have our NBA players back here, Lonnie Walker, Bruce Brown, Davon Reed. We'll have guys from our championship team like Duran Scott and Garius Adams, Trey McKinney-Jones, Kenny Kaji, Reggie Johnson, Julian Gamble. They'll all come back and play against each other and against our players in pickup ball, and they'll love it. And I think they're doing stuff for the fans. I don't know if it's completely organized yet, but whoever's listening to this, if you want to have a little bit of nostalgia, come over to the Watsco Center and watch our alumni play one night this summer.
Well, it's hard to believe it's been 10 years. I think I had more hair 10 years ago, but 10-year anniversary of the ACC championship.
Well, I remember that tournament extremely well, like it was yesterday. We beat Boston College, very difficult game. We beat NC State in Greensboro, mind you, with their fans packing the place. We beat NC State in the semifinals. And then had to play North Carolina for the third time. We had beaten them already twice in the regular season. And now we needed to beat them a third time to win the championship. It was quite a shootout. I think both teams made 10 or more threes. And we ended up winning, I think, 87-77. And Shane Larkin was MVP of the tournament, first team All-ACC, ACC Player of the Year, and second-team All-American.
Yeah, that was a heck of a Sunday afternoon. In those days, 10 years ago, the ACC championship game was a Sunday afternoon. And people, I remember an article was written that day, what people loved in Carolina on Sunday was their barbecue, church, and the ACC championship game with Carolina in it. And then you spoiled everything because you beat them. One of the great achievements
I like
of all time.
Yeah, I like that. I want to do that again.
This Saturday, Pittsburgh. Now, they got a big game here tonight. Pittsburgh is going to go up against Wake Forest. They'll have, you're on the road for three straight. They're home for three straight. And they're having, I think, probably their best year under Jeff Capel.
Now, that's for sure. Right now, they're very much in the thick of things for the regular season title. And they play Wake Forest tonight. I think those teams are basically tied. And they're really tied with us as well. So how Pittsburgh does tonight will really impact it one way or the other, because we'll either go to Pittsburgh with them on a two-game home losing streak, or they come off a big win over Wake Forest, the team that they're kind of tied with right now. So both teams are going to be hungry for a win tonight. Game is at 7 o'clock. As soon as I get off this phone with you, Joe, I'm going to be turning it on and recording it and watching it over and over again to get ready for Saturday. And then it's a very big game for us. We want to stay in the thick of the regular season race. And in order to do that, you got to win some quality road games.
Now their home court, the Peterson Center, the Zoo, they play really well at home. They're a very emotional team. I think they play really hard. Burton has been great for them this year. Sabandi, they have a player. I don't want our listeners to think that I'm crazy when I call his name, but his name is Federico.
Yeah, and he is big and dunks the ball effortlessly. He's about 6'11". I believe he's from France, and he's a very gifted young player. I think he's had a very, very nice impact on Pittsburgh, especially at the defensive end of the floor where he blocks shots and rebounds.
All right, Coach. Well, it'll be a very interesting game. Team played great against Florida State, played, you know, right there, wire to wire, eyeball to eyeball with Duke. So another big one coming up on Saturday. And I'll see you on Friday when we get ready to go up to Pittsburgh. Thank you for being with us on the show.
Well, thanks, Joe. Yep, quick practice to get ready for Pittsburgh tomorrow. Then we fly to Pitt on Friday. So look forward to seeing you again. And thanks for all you do for the University of Miami men's basketball program.
Appreciate it, Coach. I look forward to talking to you on Friday. That's University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga joining us on the show, and we'll continue right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.